God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt, relieving me of the bondage of self, that I may better be thy will, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may I do thy will always. Amen. Is what does parlous Christian really mean for me? And to get the agenda out of the way, I'm supposed to share for tell my story for 7 minutes and then bring in my topic and then go around the room, offering each person 3 minutes, and we have a timer. Thank you. And just remind everyone to, when they speak, to say I and we instead of you or me.
Are we recording?
We are recording. If you're interested in not having your name, having recording, just let me know again. Take it off. Go ahead. Okay. So, my name is Brenda, and I'm a compulsive reader.
Hi, Brenda.
Thank you. What brought me to program, for me, was more of a sense of unmanageability rather than acknowledgement of powerlessness. You know, my life was just kind of crazy, and you know, I was having this really difficult time controlling people, places, and things. You know, I couldn't get people to do, or you know, what I feel like they should do. And so, you know, when I came in, my son was teenage, 15, 16, 17 years old, somewhere around there. Came in. And you know, I just wanted to wring his neck. You know, everything was my son. You know, like you know, this person or that person. And you know, the truth of the matter was, you know, it was me. I was trying to control everything, everybody. So come in. You know, I kind of remember. You know, they asked me to think about my history. You know, when I walked in the door, it was like, man. You know, I'm like. What was my deal with food? Well, as a kid, I don't really remember a whole lot of my childhood, but as a kid, around the food, I remember nursery school being coerced into eating the food so I could get to part of the meal that I wanted. You know, and, you know, being very young, I don't really remember a lot about the I don't remember a lot about childhood. My memories are very different than that of my brother and sister. They kind of remember the same thing, and I remember totally different because I stayed in my head. You know, I stayed in what I thought. You know, I always had a rationalization. I always had a justification, and it made sense to me, so why didn't it make sense to everybody else? You know, and so, you know, growing up, I don't really remember a lot. I remember getting a little bit older. I remember we were really poor, so you know, a lot of our meals were pot meals and a lot of starchy kind of meals. And that was acceptable. You know, my mom never put a lot of pressure on us about how or what we looked like on the outside, but more about, you know, looking at people for what they were on the inside. So, you know, I never looked in the mirror and had a problem with who or what I was becoming until much later. You know, and so when I got to preteens, early teens, you know, then I started to pay a lot more attention. You know, I remember not being daddy's little girl, and the hurt and the pain that came from that, my solution, where I found my solution was in all the wrong places. And when those didn't work out, you know, I found the solution in food. Because it just took the edge off, you know. That's all I wanted to do is just take the edge off. You know, for me it was a little. It was sneaky. You know, it was like a little sliver here, a little sliver there. After I thought people had gotten back to, I would go back again to get to. You know, just totally lack of. You know, I couldn't stop that behavior. I didn't think I needed to. Up front, but in the back of my head, I kind of really knew that I did. Because I kept thinking that I can't stop it, it'll never change, I'm always just going to continually get bigger and bigger, and one day they're just going to burn me with piano keys. You know, so I didn't really make a lot of effort to control my weight or my eating, not at least not on the outside, you know, not where anybody could see. You know, I would say, you know, there's 1,000 resolutions, you know, or I'm going to fix it tomorrow, you know, and like, but not openly, you know, only in secret to myself, because if I keep it to myself and it doesn't happen, then I'm not letting anybody down. I was letting myself down, but I really didn't see that. I get to college, and just before college, actually, I had babysitting. I used to babysit through my teen years, and that was the greatest, that was the overeater's delight, because I had free reign in everybody else's house. You know, they'd leave and say, oh, get what you want. That was great. You know, so I get to college, and again, I'm real low on income, so, you know, I kind of worked it out that to get what I wanted, I could get a lot more of, rather than get what I needed, which would have been more nutritionally sound, but it was more expensive. So I always got what I wanted. And you know, the thing is, you know, I always would get into that stuff, and I mean, I would get into that so that it would push me to such bounds that I'd pass out. You know, I'm totally sugar comatose, done. And so I wasn't accountable for my studies. You know, my studies suffered a lot trying to get through college because I just wasn't always present. You know, I mean, I'm trying to make up for time lost by trying to stay up all night, so I go to the stores and I'm just buying, you know, and like, when do I stop? You know, I didn't stop. And so I did try to make a difference, to slow the upward progression once by trying a liquid diet. And that worked as long as it worked. you know, I wanted it to fix, you know, thing, but I was completely powerless over whether or not, you know, that wasn't a good fit. You know, I really shouldn't have bothered with that, but that was like the only time I really remember trying to take a step back. So then I fast forward, I get into program, and I am smooth sailing. You know, I'm doing the parts of the program that make sense to me when I walk in the door. And I mean, it on the outside, you know, it looks like I'm doing an awful lot. On the inside, I feel like I'm really just not really cutting it. You know, I feel like I know I'm shortcutting over there, and I probably should do more of that, or I probably should do more, a little more of that thing over there too. But, you know, this is good enough. You know, but, you know, what ended up happening was I lost a lot over there. I probably lost 100 pounds. You know, and then, you know, I took back, you know, what was working and decided that my way would be better again. And I get to, you know, I get illness, which is a lot of acceptance with my kidney failure as well. But, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. And none of it, my son is in the middle of all of that too. You know, none of it do I have any control or power over changing any of it. All I really needed to do was just to look on my side of the street. So I'm working, you know, and what I get to learn, you know, over that, you know, the first 2 years were pretty decent. You know, it looked all right. The next 2 years were not so great because there wasn't a lot of acceptance over my being powerless. You know, I just was not really happy with the thought that I really just needed to accept, you know, complete and utter powerlessness over everything, but particularly my food. You know, it's like I wanted to be able to design my food plan. Well, the food plan of a kidney patient is nothing what Brenda, as a compulsive overeater, needs to eat. And coming, it took 2 years to come to the resolution that, you know, I need to be my advocate. And I stopped being my advocate because because it suited my purpose, you know, and I just didn't see it that way, you know. I mean, I'm on the outside, I'm still doing what I agreed to do. That abstinence is great, it's working for me, you know, here in the last 6 months or so. I finally decided that I had had enough. I was at the point where the food wasn't working for me, and Big Book says, I jotted it down too much. Big Book says that point where you can't live with the food and you can't live without it. And that's where I was. I was at a place where I'm like, okay, it's not working. So, you know, and there's got to be, you know, so I'm like, all right, God, you know, I am trying to stay in contact with you all the time, and you're just going to have to help me out here and push me in the right direction. So what it turned out to was I decided to give up flour, and not because I wanted to, but because it was suggested. You know, why don't you try it? You know what? I'm struggling, and I don't want to fall off the horse again because I've been there, okay? I've been there where I couldn't stop. And so, you know, I'll try it. And I tried it, and it's just, you know, that's been the thing that's been giving up the flour, worked, and in less than a week, I was just so clear again. Like that day one, that first week of abstinence, you know, when I first walked in. And so I was willing then to try the week two, and it's been flour in week three for over 3 months now. And I can't tell you the clarity, you know. It's like, okay, I prowess over a great many things, and that's been such a gift. You know, that word sounds like it's supposed to be so negative, you know, but it's not. You know, it's the thing that's keeping me humble, that's keeping me connected to God and willing to do this for just one more day. So, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
That's good. Okay, all right, so we're going to go on. Around the room, in a word or less, and why do we have to keep sharing?
Word or less.
A word or less.
Thank you.
3 minutes or less.
I'm so sorry. Okay, we're going to go around the room in 3 minutes or less. It came out so natural. We're going to share, and Jack, will you start?
Hi, Jack. We've got a possible reader.
Hi, Jack.
Can I see the topic?
Powerlessness. What it really means.
Okay. It took me a long time to accept the fact that I am powerless. I always try to control my environment around me. And I came to realize that all that did was lead to frustration and anger and annoyance with people, places, and things around me. It wasn't until I was able to accept the fact that I can't control any of that. I can't even control myself. When I finally accepted that, things became a lot easier for me. Trying to control the environment around me only led to that feeling of restless, irritable, and discontent. And that led me right back to the food. Because the food is what food is my solution to that feeling, to get rid of those feelings. I went to the food to get rid of the feelings. When I was finally able to let go of that and said, let my higher power control what's going on around me and accept that fact. Most of the time I wasn't restless, irritable, and discontent. It still pops up every once in a while. There's still frustration in life. But I don't run into the food anymore. The solution to my problem is no longer the food. The solution to the problem became my higher power. It took me a long time to get to that point. I've been covered about 4 years now. It's only been happening for, let's say, for about 6 months. So it took me 3.5 years of finally realizing that this is the way I have to live. And it's just so different now. That was quick. Okay, there's a way in there. It's made a difference in my life that life is a lot calmer for me now. I'm not as agitated. I'm not as frustrated as I used to be. And there's still frustrations at times, but I get back to the serenity a lot quicker than I used to. And I don't want to be food anymore. So, definitely
share. Sure.
I'm bored. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm still learning so much about my feelings and how I feel and what I am. I'm going to pass. I really appreciate what I'm learning. I'm still learning.
Hey, I am body a great hope of compulsive overeater.
Right.
I'm not powerless. Yeah, right. Very powerless. It's that most of my life I had that illusion of control. That's what it was, illusion. Because, you know, can't control people, places, and things. And that's something that today is a very, when I feel I'm powerless over a situation, and I want to try to control that, listen to those. I cannot control people, places, and things. And that's the bottom line. That's the red flag that helps me level the playing field for me and allows me to let it go. And if, you know, and, you know, God answers our prayers always in one of three ways. Yes, not yet, and I have something better for you. And, you know, even in my deepest addictions, God answered one of my prayers in one of those three matters. And so, you know, the powerlessness over situations, over myself at times. The difference is the powerlessness over myself is in my control. That's the only thing I do have control over. What I do in that situation, do I do the next right thing or do I act out? Do I act in the ego, easing God out, or do I act in God's will, not Bobby's? So that is something I am not powerless over. I am powerful in when I, you know, and what I do in that instance. But the rest is not in my control. All I can do is what is like I heard earlier, keeping my side of the street clean. It's all about me doing what's right for me, staining my staining my needs in a healthy and mindful manner, and putting my truth out there, and then let it be wherever it'll be. And if I need to walk away from a situation, I walk away. If it's toxic, I need to go. And not allow the codependency to keep me in a situation I need to be removed from. So I'm sure.
Thank you.
I am Sam.
You're
a compulsive overeater. I don't really know what to say. I'm still working on abstinence, and I'm not sure about the powerlessness, but I know that I need a sponsor in order to not eat the bad food, but that's as far as I am right now.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for sharing.
Sure. Yeah, my name's Bob. I'm a food addict. So, I want to turn my will over to God. I'm willing to do that. So, when I was picking out which room to go to, this topic seemed to be more my weakness or more helpful to me. So, couple of examples that I learned just sitting here now is, so when I go out with friends, my food plan doesn't call for any starchy foods. So I sometimes get them to go and give them to homeless or my housekeeper or my neighbor. And sometimes they could end up in myself. So there's a real codependent I'm totally powerless over taking leftovers from any place that are not on my food plan. So that's some definite fact that I picked up at the meeting. That's definitely 100% a fact that I cannot do that. But when I do that, I'm just setting myself up for more insanity and to act out my powerlessness. So, friends will say, well, we're going to go here. And I'll say, oh, well, I can go anywhere. Yeah, I can, thank you. I can go anywhere and make the food plan work. And I don't think that's really true. No, I don't think that's true. It's 100% not the true fact that I can't go to certain restaurants are definitely not going to have my food plan food. So that's another codependency that I'm afraid to tell them the truth about what my needs are. So since my time's up, I'll just have to sit here and keep thinking about my own recovery. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm Eileen, a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
I was raised in the Catholic tradition, and we have this thing called purgatory, a place of suffering and atonement, you know. And I equated powerlessness with purgatory when I first got into this program. Who would choose purgatory? I have learned, and I used the word illusion earlier today, that I really don't have a choice. It's a fact. It's a truth about my life. I am totally powerless. And if I think that I've got power, boy, am I misguided, and does my life get screwed up. But when I accept the fact that there's a God in control of my life and that I can trust him, life is a joy. So powerlessness is a joy, and recognizing it is. And when I start to forget this, something always happens in my life that brings me back. I had an experience the other night. I went into a city with I'm dating, doesn't that sound young? But going dating for 3 years now. But anyway, went into the city together, and this person that I see is very, well, is religious, but not spiritual. And I've come to learn that there's a difference. And we're coming back on the train from the city, and we miss our stop because we don't think that's our stop. And it is 11:30 at night. Everything is dark. The conductor tells us that no trains go back the other way, and who gets a taxi at 11:30 at night? Where do you, you know? And I'm fine with it because I'm powerless. I know I'm powerless, you know? And this person I'm with is absolutely frantic. And he said, this is why I like to drive, so I can be in control. Well, last summer, I'm thinking to myself, he's driving down Route 3, and a truck sideswiped him. He went across three lanes of traffic and landed on the island. What kind of control is that? Wow. You know? And I was really at peace with it. We got off the train. There was one other person who got off the train, saw our situation, and said, let me drive you down here. It's about a 5-mile walk to the station where our car was. And everything was solved. And so I really embrace powerlessness. Thank you.
Thank you. This is a topic this topic has a double-edged sword for me. I think my life is a mess, and I'm not happy because I'm powerless. That's the way I wake up in the morning. I have no power in my life. I feel other people are always determining that day, that plan. I always have to think before I can make my own plan. It has a lot to do with that immaturity of feeling that I have no control over my life. So therefore, I feel empty, and to fill it up, I eat. That's my pattern.
when the food's in the house, it's mine. I have to keep it out of the house. The doggy bag never gets home. Never makes it home. It will be, it never gets thrown away either. It's all in barrels over it. I worry that I think to myself, do I always have to be in a controlled environment? I think of it as like a padded cell. Do I always have to be protected against this enemy that is always there? And I get mad at myself for not seeing that I have the resolve. I know what I should do. I listen to Dr. Oz. I listen to everybody over and all the stuff. And I read all the books. But when it's there, it's mine. It calls me. I can't let it go as I'm doing it. But you know what? I don't use the program. I've been in program 3 years. I could pick up a phone and call somebody. I don't do it. So I give up my power. I could use the tools. I could write. I could get out of the situation and leave. But I don't. And so I need more meetings. I need more program. I need more reading. And I need to feel that, as everything I hear here, is that when I eat, I had a problem. I ate it because I had a problem, and when I eat it, I have two problems. So that's what I'm leaving here with, is that no matter what it is, and I think I want control, but I really don't. I just want to be left alone sometimes, and that isolation is what causes me to eat. So it's a work in progress. And what I've learned in the rooms is it doesn't matter if you've been in program 1 year, 3 years, 1 month, 29 years. Every day is a battle, every day. And I haven't accepted the fact that it's a disease that's going to... I still have days when I think I'm normal and I can handle it. But I have to come away realizing that it is a disease, it does have me in its grips, and I have to get control of it. And I don't use the program, and that's what I have to do. Thanks for sharing. I hope that was not hot. I hope it was positive, but I'm sorry.
Hi, I'm Trisha, grateful compulsive overeater. And I was just thinking about what Brenda said in one word or less. to define powerlessness. And a long time ago, I was at a workshop, and I needed to define abstinence in one word. And I came up with freedom. And I just thought that powerlessness equals freedom. So there's my one word. Elaborating on that, once I admit that I'm powerless, as I am powerless over my sister who is an active alcoholic, I am powerless over my husband, I'm powerless over my life because, only God controls my life for me. But once I accept that powerlessness, it's like I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders. I have a sister who's 50 years old. She and her husband are both very active alcoholics. They have two children. One is a child, fetal alcohol effect, not full-blown syndrome. And I was just in Texas. My sister didn't drink while I was down there, but she has since gone on another tear. My brother-in-law was drinking while I was there. And my sister said to me, when I look at him, it makes me not want to drink. But then things happen and she worries and she starts to drink. So her daughter, she calls her and says, if you're going to be drinking on Mother's Day, don't even bother coming over. When I went there, I took them all big books. I took them all big books. We discussed Al-Anon when my sister wasn't there. We discussed Al-Anon. And people were saying, well, what do you think you're going to get by giving them those books? I said, I don't care it's not for me. Once I give them those books, it is for them to do whatever they want. I am powerless over them, but I'm just trying to carry the message. But I'm really grateful for my powerlessness because, like I said, it's freedom. And, for me, I have, it's acceptance of that there's nothing I can do. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. You know, I'm powerless. It's the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Heather Ruth. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And those of you who remember me from 4.5 years ago know that I always had one of these out on the table because I would become so emotional that my asthma would kick in and I would start coughing uncontrollably. And I do believe that's what happened to me, but not that I was simply dry. But I try to be open to what I'm hearing and also open to what might come into my mind. And what came into my mind this time was that as an infant and a child, I was powerless. And that's the natural condition of infants and little children. But I was at the mercy of my parents and caretakers who were not the most adequate people in the world. And as children in that situation do, I misconstrued it. The conclusion I drew was that I had to gain control. I didn't have power, I had to get it. And the first thing I could express that in was eating. I could control what I ate and what I didn't eat. And it turned out that I liked to eat a lot, satisfy a lot of needs. And I patterned my whole life based on that. And everything that happened to me grew out of that. And I didn't give up those illusions about power and powerlessness until I came to OA. And it's really, my goodness, I don't even quite know where I want to go with this. It's really hard to feel powerless. I spent so much of my adult life up until the time I came into OA being competent, being successful, fixing everything. And I still have that ability. I have good plumbing skills, electrical skills. I can hang a picture straight, all of that. And I can solve all kinds of problems. But the reality is that I'm powerless. And I have a husband who likes to grocery shop. I have heard now that from a couple of people that it's so wonderful that husband does the grocery shopping. It drives me crazy because he likes to buy in vast quantities. And the first time I opened an auxiliary pantry, I mean, we were at the point where we needed 2 pantries. There was 11 bottles or jars of mustard in it. That was just a condiment. There were, okay. only Reagan thought it was a food, and I think that was another condiment. Anyway, there was so much of several different things that I had a panic attack. I mean, it was just so... Oh, my time is up. Okay, right now. I didn't hear the timer. You'll have to ask me later for the end of the story.
I'll give you a minute of my time. Go ahead.
Finish, Cheryl.
Okay.
You've got 3 minutes and 9.
Yes, okay.
Well, so it was things like that caused me to realize that I really wasn't in control of anything. It started with people, and then it did become places as well, and things, I mean, I couldn't put my car in reverse out here when I arrived for this retreat. It just wouldn't go into gear. But instead of having a panic attack, I coasted gently down the hill and back and went into a parking place frontwards, and then I found I could actually get my car in reverse, so I'll be able to leave, actually. I don't know if that's the end of the story I was going with, but that's what that's why I had to use my inhaler.
Thank you.
Because it's just such a big, big issue for me.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Kathy from Hi, Kathy. I didn't know what I was going to say as we went around the room a little bit. Brought back some memories to me. I mean, my mother and father had a house where they were very controlling. There was very little leeway for me in decisions makings and different things. But the one thing I quickly learned that I could have power over was the refrigerator and the cabinets. And, you know, from an early age, that was one thing that I could do. I could go out and get what I wanted. And it would always happen generally when nobody else was around or awake. So at an early age, I learned that my power was over the food. It wasn't until many, many years later that I realized that it wasn't the power over the food, it was the food had the power over me. Similar to what Ruth said, I was very successful in most facets of my life. I was good at school, good at work, by many sense, quantifying success, I had been ranking up there on the positive side. But I never really realized until I walked into this room that I had no power over the food, and that the food was really the place, because that's where I always went to when something was wrong. I thought that's where I could get soothed or fixed, or it would, make my feelings feel better. And it had nothing to do with that. And I didn't realize that until relatively recently. So I'm hoping going forward that, I better embrace the powerlessness that I have with the food and realize that, work in the tools and different tenets that we're learning here, that I can embrace that powerlessness to the betterment of myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
I'm Donna, I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Donna.
I was powerless over that particular condiment. To the point that you couldn't even see what I was eating. It was just smothered with it until it burned out my stomach, and I had no choice but to let it go. I know I am powerless, utterly, utterly powerless over food. I know that deep down on my toes, and I'm so grateful to know that because it took me a long time, and that's a gift from my higher power to know I am powerless over food. I struggle with the rest of my life with the powerlessness. I don't quite get it in the other areas in my life because I am irritable, restless, discontent a lot. And I guess that means I'm trying to be powerful and I'm trying to run the show. There are times when I get fed up and I just say, oh, hell with it. And I guess it may be some sort of letting go. And that feels good. It's almost like a sweet surrender. But I struggle with what the powerlessness in the other areas in my life really is. And I want to know it because I certainly don't want to be irritable, restless, discontent, and unhappy. So I'm still learning about the powerlessness. I know I'm unhappy a lot, and I'm learning about my defects and what's making me unhappy. I'm learning an awful lot. I feel like I'm growing up for the first time. And I think that's big. I think that's true for me. Even at 55, that's true. Because I lost in the last 2 years the two things that defined me. And that was my job on Wall Street for 20 years and my mom. And all of a sudden, there's Donna. And I am learning who she is for the first time. And I am a beginning. And everything is in good orderly direction because I found these rooms at the same time. And I feel like I'm in a whole new direction. So I feel like I'm just learning about what powerlessness really is and what it really means. And I'm just really, really grateful. Really grateful. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Betsy, the compulsive overeater.
Hi, Betsy.
And I came into OA to lose weight, 100%. And I started at a beginner's meeting. And everybody starts talking about powerlessness. I'm like, what is the matter with you people? What do you mean you're powerless? And I couldn't get it. I just could not get it. And week after week after week, people were saying similar things. And I just could not fathom it because I was in control. I'm a very successful person, a lot of education, never had any problems. And I just couldn't understand the powerlessness. You know, the people were talking about powerlessness in their lives and then over food. And I'm like, I'm not powerless over food. I just eat a lot, you know. My family of origin ate a lot. And I couldn't possibly be powerless over food. I just wanted to lose weight. And I had to learn that I was powerless over food in the rooms. I had to listen to what people said, you know, week after week, month after month, and say, yeah, I'm like that. I do these crazy things with food. I have food run my life. I have food be the first response when a fecal matter hits the rotary appliance.
Well, can you say that again?
When it hits the fan, you know? You know, it happens. So those are condiments. Yeah. And that's the first thing that I run for. And I didn't realize that until I was in the rooms and I heard people say the same things. And now I'm one of the first people to say that I'm powerless. I'm powerless over food, I'm powerless over people. They have not yet, no matter how much I try, done the things that I want them to do. And, you know, what is the matter with them? You know, obviously I know better than they do, so why don't they do what I want? And that's just not going to happen. And I still sometimes have the problem with the word powerless, so I like to use surrender. Because I surrender. There's this thing out there that is bigger than I am, that is greater than I am, that's more powerful than I am. I'm talking about my higher power. I'm talking about food, and I have surrendered to food. I'm not going to fight it. I'm just not going to fight it. And I know I'll get better that way. When I turn it over to my higher power and I stop fighting, I will get better. So thanks for having me to share.
Thank you for sharing. We probably only use... Yes?
I'm sure I can share.
It's
a part now. A Barbara, compulsive overeater.
And Barbara.
And this is what does powerless really mean? When the first thing that I realized I was powerless, I just thought that everybody thought about food the way that I did, that they had enough willpower to stop eating, and I didn't, so that meant I was bad. But then I came in and I found out I had a disease. And what I've learned over time is what my disease is for being powerless is that no matter how much I want to stop, I can't stop. If I do stop, I can't stay stopped. At certain times, which eventually became more and more, I couldn't control the amount that I ate. And I broke every promise I ever made to myself concerning food. I had no power over food was concerned. I didn't realize that I didn't have power over everything else in my life. And I was always angry. I was always doing stuff to hurt other people. Couldn't stop myself. I couldn't make myself kind. I couldn't make myself happy. I couldn't make myself fit. I mean, there were, if I were ever to write down, and every once in a while, you know, you write out the goals. I have all these goals. I have no idea how to even start accomplishing any of them. And then I come in here, and I read the big book. And it tells me right off the bat, food's not my problem. My problem is lack of power. I don't have the power to do anything that will make my life good. And the only way that I can ever compensate for that is to hook up with a power greater than me that can do for me what I can't do for myself. And I like the word surrender because my definition of surrender means going over to the winning side. And the second that I realized that I was not in control and everything that I had tried to control or do for myself turned out horribly. My two marriages were horrible. Every person I dated was horrible. Everything I did really turned out badly. My own daughter didn't love me. I had no relationship with anybody other than food, and that wasn't even doing it for me either. So I come in here and I hook up with a higher power that was just so magnificent and to the point where like my life is really good. And you didn't know me pre-programmed. So even though it sounds like arrogant with some stuff, the changes that are made in my life, I actually consider myself a kind person. I'm not sure if everybody can say it. And the truth is that it doesn't matter, but compared to what I was, because I would hurt people because I felt so bad about myself, and the only way I could feel better was by putting you down. And a lot of the messages I made to people were that not so much what I said or did to them, but the idea of always keep laughing so that other people would see what was being done to them, or because I was laughing at them, other people would start laughing to them also. The transformation that I could even be a kind person lets me know that there really is a higher power who can work miracles. Because who I am today, I could never have dreamed of being this kind of person, nor would I ever be able to make myself this.
Thanks for sharing. We probably still have a few minutes left. We don't have quite a good show here today, so I will quickly share on one more memory that just popped in my head about the whole powerlessness thing. You know, I remember being, I guess, almost graduating high school, so late teens. My sister is 6 years younger than I am, and I was so infuriated that my mom was not raising her, in my opinion, the way she raised me. And so, you know, there were so many instances of where I just look at my mom and look like she had five heads, like, why aren't you, you know, teaching her or disciplining her or, you know, giving to her what you gave to us? She was tired, you know, and so I couldn't control her. I couldn't make her do what I wanted her to do. Completely powerless, right? So, you know, fast forward to, you know, adult life. I mean, my sister, the relationship between us was really strained, and a lot because of how I perceived, I don't know, I thought she was a brat. You know, I thought she was, you know, just being really obnoxious. You know, just giving up that power of trying to control either my mom over her or trying to control my sister into being what I thought, and instead just learning to carry the message, man, that's been huge. You know, we have the greatest relationship these days, and it's been, you know, just letting go, just that whole powerless thing is awesome. It's really, you know, powerful, as has been shared. But I'm open to the floor for anybody else that has a one didn't get to finish, wants to share, has a burning desire. Anybody? Yes.
I just wanted to say that I mean, a compulsive reader. I have a phrase that comes to mind often, and I don't know whether it was my own or whether I heard it someplace, but the river's going to go where the river's going to go. And I have this image of a river sometimes going slowly past pleasant places, sometimes going over rapids through narrow walled canyons. And I'm in an inner tube going down the river. And I can, when I get to the rough places, try to grab on to the branches and the walls of the canyon and change the flow and slow myself down. But all I get is bloody knuckles and broken fingernails, and I don't change anything. And the river's going to go where the river's going to go. And it's a good image for you, so I share it with you. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes.
section about being the director trying to control the lights, the ballet, the actors, the scenery, everything. And all that taking place to do that, I do that. And when I stopped doing that, life became so much easier. It's so much less frustrating. Instead of trying to control it, I just let it happen. And just kind of go with the flow. So, let me share.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, well, once you're clear, let me close with the serenity prayer. Okay, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.